Let us pray. God of new life, your grace is always beyond our grasp. Open the eyes of our hearts to see you, present for us. Open the ears of our hearts to hear you speak your word to us, now and always, through the living Christ. Amen. A reading from Acts. When the temple police had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel, in the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together in the house, and the doors were locked out of fear. But Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw Jesus, they were overjoyed. And Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As God has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus had come to them. And so they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Well, a week later, the disciples were all gathered together again, and this time Thomas was with them. And the doors were shut. But Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. No longer be faithless, but be faithful." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Imagine Thomas. He comes with all these profound, gut-wrenching feelings. The immense, deep sorrow of having lost Jesus, having watched him tortured to death. The fear, knowing that they could likely be coming for him and take his life as well. That agony of knowing that he's failed his best friend. That guilt and shame and self-doubt. The despair over where the world is going. All of these awful feelings. And then Thomas's friends tell him that they've seen Jesus. He's alive. Well, it's no surprise that that story is not enough. We've come to call him Doubting Thomas, but he's really no different from all the rest of us, from the disciples themselves. Jesus had to show them his hands and his side. When the women came back from the tomb, they thought it was an idle tale. They didn't believe either. Neither do we. There are times when we have those same feelings that Thomas did. Those times when we just feel overwhelmed by our sadness or our guilt or our fear or our self-loathing or our despair or our powerlessness. And in times like that, a good story isn't enough. It's going to take more than that to give us what we need to carry on. Something has to be more solid than just a story. Just something that somebody else thinks. We need something real, something you can lean on, something that touches us, something that moves us. What we need is a person. A person who can give us the hope and the courage to bear all of that sorrow and suffering and go on. Isn't it interesting that what Thomas says is not, I need to see the real thing. I need to see that look in his eyes. He doesn't say, I need to hear the sound of his voice. I need to hear him tell one of those crazy parables that we could never understand. He doesn't say, I need to feel the warmth of his embrace or the healing power of his words. What Thomas says is, I need to see his woundedness. Because that's what will give Thomas hope to go on. I need to see somebody who can bear these wounds. The wounds that I have, the wounds that I've caused. I need to see somebody who can hold all that and not fall down. I need somebody who can bear that suffering and keep going. And that's what Jesus does for Thomas. Shows him not only an individual in Jesus, but a God who can endure our suffering with us and pull us through. There are people among us always who need that hope, who need that encouragement, who are going through a hard time and need somebody who can bear the pain with them and help them keep going. And there are people who not only need that once in a while or even occasionally, there are people who need that every day of their lives. People who deal with depression and addiction and violence and poverty and hopelessness. And our stories will not help them. Our faith, however deep it is, will not make any difference. What they need is a person who can bear the pain and keep going. What God needs is for us to be for them like Jesus was for Thomas. Like those disciples were for Thomas. They told a story that didn't make much difference for Thomas, but they still included him in their community until in that community Thomas could discover for himself. What God needs is people like Jesus who can dare to be sensitive to the wounds of the world, who dare to enter into the suffering of the world. Now, more than one person has asked me over the years, what happens when I enter into the suffering of the world and it's too much? The answer is, you die. You die. And then God raises you up. And I know that's a pretty good story, but I know it because there have been people in my life that have been Jesus for me, who have seen my pain and have borne my pain and have gone with me through the pain, and they kept me going. And I knew I couldn't do it by myself, and they were there for me. So for me, it's not a story. It's an actual experience. And that's the experience that Jesus invites us to have, that we become those who are so grateful for those around us who have helped us bear our pain, that we have the courage to bear the pain of the world so that those who need hope can keep going. That is what brings us to this table. And today we come to this communion table not so that we can feel good. God does not need us to feel good, but God does need us to feel. So we come to this table where what is represented here is not just Jesus and his love, but someone whose body was broken and whose love is poured out, and who represents all of those in this world who still, always, even today, whose bodies are broken and whose love is poured out. And we come to be in solidarity with that suffering, to be open to that hurt, to be willing to share that struggle, to be willing to not feel free till all those who are oppressed are free, to not feel whole till our wholeness includes all of those who are broken. That's the bread and the wine that we receive at this table. And when we come daring to be open to that kind of compassion, we experience a compassion that can bear all the suffering of the entire world and be raised to new life. And so we come to open ourselves to that love, to that suffering, to those wounds. We reach out to that wounded Jesus. And not by our strength, but by that peace that Jesus breathes into us from the place of suffering, not a place of happiness. We receive the Holy Spirit, the power that comes from beyond us to bear us on, so that we can bear on all those who suffer, so that we can really be present for one another and for the whole world, and in that be raised to new life. And in that spirit, we unlock the doors and we allow the wounded Christ to come in with all of that suffering. And we are given new life with which to bear that compassion out into the world that with Thomas is still reaching, still waiting, still looking, ready to believe if only there are people who will give them hope to go on, that we receive because we have been so loved. We unlock the doors. We allow Jesus to come and breathe that spirit, that peace into us. Not so that we can feel good, but surely so that we can feel and be there for a hurting world. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, though so often the doors of our hearts are locked, you come to us. You meet us where we are. Open our eyes and reach out our hands. Help us to know you so that in your peace we might be people of hope. God of grace, for your infinite love for us, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.